President Obama is going it alone for the time being. He's sending military resources to drop bombs and shoot missiles at the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria. He's working largely without the counsel, somewhat with the consent of Congress. So is there a big vacuum in Washington with Congress gone until after the midterm elections, or a streamlined operation without too much distraction? Justin Sink is a White House correspondent for The Hill newspaper. He's been covering presidential action overseas. He joins me now. Justin, good morning.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
All right. So what is the situation right now? Is it seem like kind of a freelancing job by the White House in consultation with the Pentagon and Congress on the sidelines?
Well, I mean, I think obviously President Obama has been in contact with congressional leaders. We saw before he unveiled his plan earlier this month that he had a meeting with Nancy Pelosi, John Boehner, Harry Reid, Mitch McConnell at the White House. And it at least appears that the consensus coming out of that meeting was that Congress wouldn't vote explicitly on an authorization for military action. There's no reason that if Congress wanted to, they couldn't take that sort of vote. They couldn't have stayed in town and debated these issues. And so although we've heard a lot from certainly kind of backbench members of Congress about how they'd like to have a vote explicitly authorizing the president's plan, or we've heard from congressional leadership even, we heard from John Boehner over the weekend saying that he'd like the president to submit something for Congress to vote on. You know, Congress has the ability to kind of debate and vote on this on their own, and we haven't seen that from them so far.
All right, so what would the advantage be if they came and said, okay, you can do what you're doing right now at this point?
Well, the White House has said that they would appreciate that sort of vote. They think it would send a strong signal to the rest of the world that the United States was united on this type of action. But at the same time, there's kind of huge political risks. As you know, a year ago, when the president went to Congress to ask for authorization to bomb the Assad regime in Syria, there was kind of a huge uproar on Capitol Hill. It seemed like that vote was headed to failure before U.S. through Russia was able to broker a deal for Assad to turn over his chemical weapons. And so I think that there's a real risk that if Congress were to kind of take up this issue, that war weariness and especially kind of concern about what a vote like that would look like ahead of the midterm elections could lead that type of vote to go down. And then the legitimacy of the president's actions would really kind of be undermined.
So you say he's been speaking to John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, and to the minority leader, Nancy Pelosi, who obviously don't agree on much. What have they respectively said on the way the conduct of this operation is going, and also with respect to the possibility of ground troops?
Well, what I think we've heard from Democrats is certainly that they believe that the president doesn't think that there should be ground troops. They agree with that notion, and they also have said, you know, they think that the president has all the authority he needs already. Speaker Boehner has been a little more ambiguous on both of those points. We heard from him over the weekend saying that he thought that ground troops were definitely necessary and that if it came to it, those might have to be U.S. ground troops. This is actually a point that I think we're going to hear congressional Democrats and the White House seize on a lot more. The president's been unequivocal in saying that he is not going to surge a big kind of massive ground troop presence into Iraq or Syria in the way that happened in previous Middle Eastern conflicts. Well, Republicans have left the door open, and Democrats see that as sort of a political opportunity. They know that, you know, recent polls show less than 40% of Americans would support sending ground troops into battle ISIS, and so Democrats think that this is an advantage for them to highlight.
We're speaking with Justin Sink, the White House correspondent for The Hill newspaper. And a couple of weeks ago, it seemed as if the Pentagon, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and the White House were almost in a war of words of their own. And there seemed to be a deep split in what the strategy should be and how long it would take. I think the chairman of General Dempsey, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, said it would take a year to get Iraq in shape to take on ISIL on the ground and so forth. Has that been patched over, or did the White House say, you know, pipe down to the Pentagon, or did I just imagine this big disagreement?
Well, the White House would like you to believe that you imagined this this disagreement. They say that the president and his top advisors are all very much on the same page, and the White House has certainly acknowledged that certain aspects of fighting ISIS could take 2 or 3 years, if not longer, that this is going to be a long, sustained campaign. training the rebels in Syria that we're going to rely on to sort of engage both ISIS and the Assad regime is a process that's just now starting and could take months to even get up off the ground. But I think that there was kind of, both between the State Department and the White House, the Pentagon and the White House, some level of just not being on the same page, saying different things about what they needed for the authorization, what they needed or how long this could take, the possibility of ground troops ever kind of being inserted into the conflict. And it seems extremely likely that that was kind of genuine disagreements that were surfacing rather than just not being on the same page or kind of mistakes being made over and over again on messaging.
So that's kind of not unprecedented, but very rare in and of itself that there is that airing of that kind of disagreement because, you know, the military is generally extremely deferent when it comes to that kind of issue.
Although the military also, you know, has an advocacy role to play for what they think is the best thing to do. And we have seen these types of disagreements before. We've seen these types of disagreements before in the Obama administration. You'll remember back when the surge in Afghanistan was being contemplated. The Pentagon made very clear that they supported a higher level of troops going back in than the White House is clearly comfortable with. We know Vice President Joe Biden really didn't support the plan at all, and President Obama ended up kind of striking the difference between the plan that the Vice President was forwarding and the one that his military advisors at the Pentagon were.
Now, while we have you, there's another issue at the White House, and that's the White House itself. There is a hearing to talk with the head of the Secret Service on that break-in there. And so that says to me that Congress will meet, if it has to, on something it considers important. Apparently, this is really considered important. What does the White House feel about what's been happening as each new report comes out detailing how bad this jumper situation really was?
Well, White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest has said kind of repeatedly that they retain faith both in the Secret Service and its head, Julia Pearson, who will be on Capitol Hill today to kind of answer questions about what's been going on. But at the same time, both through independent reports and what the White House said publicly, they've noted the president's pretty concerned about especially two incidents, the one in which a man who was carrying a knife was able to get all the way into the White House and run around the first floor. And the other was back in 2011, at least seven gunshots were fired into the White House. And we learned over the weekend that the Secret Service didn't even realize that the bullets hit the White House for multiple days, 3 or 4 days. And so I think both of these, obviously, to somebody who has young children, somebody who is living under the protection of the Secret Service, would be alarming, and there's certainly signals that the president is worried about that. And so the Secret Service is undertaking a comprehensive review of all their security practices and procedures, and that's something that's ongoing, and that after which we're expecting to hear kind of more information from the White House about what they think should be going on, what should happen.
And not sure whether you know this, but when you go in there in the front door and the East Room is to the left, but first you have to go by the staircase to go upstairs. Is that staircase closed off by a door?
There's no door. It's open. So had the guy who kind of got into the White House decided to start running up the stairs, obviously he could have made it up at least to the front of the residency up there. Again, there were Secret Service agents inside. He was able to tackle by one. But, yeah, I mean, he very clearly could have gotten extremely close to, if not inside, the personal residence of the White House.
Well, maybe he just wanted a bag of M&M brand, you know, White House branded M&Ms.
Yeah, a popular something to give away. But, you know, this is definitely a scary incident. I know a lot of White House staffers kind of in the week after it happened really expressed some concern that this was allowed to happen. And I think it's going to lead to a lot of reflection about how the Secret Service should try to tackle situations like this if they happen.
Justin Sink is a White House correspondent for the Hill newspaper. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.